Accession number 20737, Reel 1.
Bill Millard, Reel 1. So, Bill, can you tell me, can you give me your date of birth and where you were born?
Well, I was born in Wigan, 12/9/20.
Mm-hmm. What did your father do?
He was an optician. Well, optician and jeweller.
Yeah.
Business combined.
Yeah. What about your mother?
Housewife. Mm-hmm. But she died when I was 8, so I had 3 other sisters, so they sort of looked after me, I suppose.
They were older sisters, were they?
It's two and one younger, yeah.
Right, okay. And where did you go to school?
Wigan Grammar School eventually.
Uh-huh. And what age did you leave?
17.
Mm-hmm. And did you have some exams?
Yes, I did the usual, it was school certificate in those days. And I got what is called a matriculation, which allowed you to go to university. But unfortunately, it was a matter of, my father was suffering very badly. His business was failing. He died eventually, ill health. And of course, we couldn't afford that I could go to university. So that's not a story. That's true. He died a pretty grim death, you know.
So what work did you do when you left school?
I joined the Wigan Rural District Council Surveyors and Engineers Department. We used to go around designing council estates, roadworks and things like that. And that was in 1937, end of 1937. And then, of course, I was there until 1939 when I was whisked into the army.
Right. So you joined the TA before then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was that, in Wigan?
In Wigan, yeah. Yeah. Local regiment, 5th Manchester's.
Right. And what were you doing in the TA?
Just private soldier, you know, just a normal training. We went down there every week, and then there was a camp, summer camp, for a week in Holton, where the whole battalion assembled. I don't want to waste your time. You see, that there were companies out at Lee, companies out at Atherton, a couple of companies in Wigan. So we eventually all got together for this big camp in May 1939 it was.
So you were doing sort of military training. Was that a help when you joined the army proper?
Well, yes. I mean, we were taught. You're taught, first of all, to be a soldier, to drill, the ordinary drill, and then how to assemble and bring guns and sort of, you know, general basic training of a soldier.
What were your feelings when war broke out?
Well, actually, I was on. Actually, let me say, I was in the transport platoon. And this sounds ridiculous, but you know why I joined? To learn how to drive. And they taught me to drive an army lorry. So when the war broke out, I was actually up in the countryside of Hay Hall, and we were doing how to drive vehicles through boggy, marshy ground and get out of nasty situations. And that was the morning that war was declared, and when I got home, my father said to me, "What do you think about the war?" I said, "I don't know what about the war." So I said, "Well, they've just declared war on Germany," and it was a bit of a shock, but we were all expecting it.
So, how soon were you called up after that?
Well, straight away then. I never got out of uniform again. I had my uniform on that day, that Sunday morning, and I never got out of it again until I had demobbed.
So what, they called you back, did they?
You're embodied into the regular army. That was the expression.
So what sort of actually happened? I mean, your TA people said, you had to go somewhere straight away? Or?
Well, within about 3 weeks, we were moved up into Northumberland, a place called Langley Castle, which was very... Do you want me to go on talking?
Yeah,
tell
you? Yeah, yeah. Go on as long as you like.
A very grim place indeed.
And that was where you actually joined up?
Oh, no. The whole 5th Manchester's battalion went up there into Langley Castle, Haydon Bridge, yeah.
So from being a TA man, you sort of magically transformed into a full-time soldier.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So tell me about being up there. What was it like when you first got
Grim. It was coming on to winter. There was no heating or lighting in the castle. We washed in bowls, a pipe, you know, with taps on. And we used to get up in the morning, and you can believe it or not, the water was frozen. It was pitch black. It was freezing. It was outside. And we had to wash and shave in those conditions.
So it was a sort of empty castle that you were sleeping on the floors?
Yeah. Other companies were distributed about in other places, but that was where I was personally.
And which company was that?
The headquarter company, because that was the transport platoon was in there. And so I was still driving an army lorry. But after a while, they decided, I say this with some diffidence, but they wanted somebody with a reasonable intelligence and education to form an intelligence section. And, as I had been to grammar school, I'd done German, French, and so on. So I was made a Lance Corporal and put in charge of this section. Then somewhere about, I went to Brigade Headquarters then, and I think the reason I went to Brigade Headquarters was the Brigade Intelligence Officer was a chap who was my senior at school, and he wanted a Lance Corporal. So I think he sent for me, and there were only three of us, a Sergeant, a Corporal, and myself, a Lance Corporal. And the bonus was I got a motorbike to ride, so I sort of sported a 38 revolver, which, made me feel important. I'm 19, just turned 19, so it was quite exciting.
Did you do any basic training there, or you'd really done all your basic
training? Oh, yes, we were trained soldiers. Oh, yeah, we were trained soldiers, because it would be early April, we were getting ready. We'd moved down from Langley Castle then, down to Wiltshire.
This would be April 1940.
Mm-hmm. We'd moved near. Oh, God, the name of the place. Good God. It'll come to a minute.
Yeah, that's
right. Anyway, the thing was that it was a sort of racing establishment. And all the stables were being used to billet the troops in. And I remember this particular one again. Actually, I became quite bolshy at this time. We lived in deserted stables with the roof sort of snow, literally this, snow coming in through. It was a terrible winter, that winter, by the way, of 1940. And we slept fully clothed, overcoats on, blankets, and it was grim, it was really. And I was a bit peeved because the officers were all sleeping in the local pubs and hotels, you know. But we were sleeping in these and working in these conditions, and the food was grim again. It was, I'm not going to go into details, but the food was grim.
You can go into details. What things were they feeding you?
Well, everything, it was just a sort of mess brewed up in these Soyuz stoves, and the cooks were as black as, they could be fires, and the cooks were as black as the Ace of Spades, and all this stuff went into these great Soyuz stoves, and let's say it wasn't the food that I was used to, or the way of life that I was used to.
So you were still with HQ?
Yes, that was, but then this, I was sent to Brigade Headquarters. That was 127 Brigade Headquarters.
Where was that?
That was in Pusey. Yeah. And it was a beautiful country mansion set in beautiful parkland. And it was a rather different style altogether, because most of the fellas there were specialists of some sort. You know, signals, REMI people. And we were doing this specialist job, which was intelligence, which literally means we had to know about the enemy, so that what their uniforms were like and recognise their tanks. We all could. I knew a bit of French and German. The corporal could speak perfect French, and the sergeant was an older chap who'd been a journalist. It was a rather, shall I say, a job for someone who's educated. I say this for some diffidence, but you know, it was.
So what sort of things, how are they teaching you? Have you in a classroom situation?
Oh, no. You learned the job as you went along. With maps of every, all around the area, the 1-inch maps. And we use, and for example, if you were on an exercise, we used to have something like a blackboard, and all the maps of the area would be pinned on it. And over this would go a sheet of what we call talc. It's like transparent celluloid. And all the battle positions would be marked on this. And then, if the brigadier called a conference of the COs, we would have to... Sorry.
It's all right, Karen.
We would have to make... Well, I did this. I did this because I've been trained as a draftsman, you see, in my previous job. All the lines, the positions where people were, and this was done... What's it called? It was some sort of special ink, and it was put on a jelly graph. The thing was then put on a bed of jelly, a tray of jelly, and it took a piece of foolscap. And this special ink became embedded in the ink. Then we put a plain piece of paper on it and peel it off, and there was the impression of everything, you see. And there were also map references on it. So that what happened then, when the other people... Colonel's got it, they'd take it back to their place, put a sheet of celluloid on top with the correct map references, mark off on the sheet of celluloid all the dispositions and so forth, and then they would put it on the appropriate map, and then they could see the map was underneath, and it would tell them everything that was needed to be known. We also kept records of all the signals that came in, so that if anybody wanted a message to relay at a certain time from a certain unit, we could produce it straight away. And it was quite interesting. I liked it. It was like, but you see, you were in the centre of things and you knew everything that was going on. You weren't, and we weren't treated like idiots. That's another thing I ought to say. All the people there were fairly, I hate saying this, but pretty well educated people, and we all had a responsible job. Yeah.
How were relations between officers and men then?
Oh, good. Yeah, because I think they all realised that a certain friendliness. In fact, you know, I think they all realised that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're all working together.
Yeah. In fact, the only person who we sort of treated with some reverence was the brigadier, who was a VC brigadier.
What was his name?
Brigadier Jackie Smythe, from the first, he got a VC in the First World War, and of course he was sort of treated with some deference. Nobody, you didn't take liberties with him, you know. But the other officers, the younger officers, I mean, this fellow, my officer, I've been at school with him, senior to me at school. Mm. So,
can you remember any of their names, the officers?
Yeah, that was Lieutenant Chambers, and his father had actually been at one time head of Wigan Grammar School. There were, I remember a Captain Dodds. He was in the Manchester Regiment. If you'd warned me, I could have dug them all up, but my memory's a bit...
That's all right. That's it. Can we just go back?
And Lieutenant Holton as well. Now, he was the previous... He was a chap in the 5th Manchester, to be mine. But he was killed later on in France in, you know, the evacuation of Dunkirk, etc.
Yeah.
But, funnily enough, I know you're here on the 53rd Welsh Division, but I had much more exciting things. It was a big adventure. I was a lad of 19. I got a motorbike. I was riding all over the place, you know. I rode it all over northern France and Belgium and, you know, we were sort of being chased by the Germans. And
We'll go through the whole thing. What I just want to go back to, what was the reaction of your family, you know, when the war was declared and they knew you were going to become a full-time soldier?
Oh, well, tears, etc. My sisters, we got on Wigan Station. The train was good. We didn't know where we were going. We just got on the train and it went off to Haydon Bridge in Northumberland. But my sisters were there, tearful, you know, hugging me and asking around a certain corporal to look after me, see that no harm came to me, which I thought was amusing. I did read that, I thought it was very amusing.
So you were a private when you went to
Northumberland? Yeah.
And what did you actually do in Northumberland? I mean, were you doing any additional training? I mean, you've done...
Well, field exercises. I mean, I was mostly stressed that on New Year's Eve, we were out in thick snow over the Northumberland hills doing an exercise, you know, crawling about at midnight and early hours of the morning. I thought we should have been celebrating New Year's Eve in the appropriate manner.
So tell me about those exercises. I mean, what were you actually doing? They're
just sort of, you're attacking an enemy post or you're doing patrols to discover the... find out information about them. And still based on the First World War. In fact, when we went down to Wiltshire, what we did was dig trenches exactly like they were in the First World War. I'll go into detail if you want, but that way it was exactly First World War tactics.
Right, we'll come to that, yeah. So when you were in the TA before, you know, when you were just TA, as it were, what sort of training did you do there? What weapons and what exercises?
Well, of course, the Lee Enfield rifle was your basic weapon, and then the brain guns were just coming in, so we used to have all the usual training on stripping them down, putting them together again, magazines and filling the magazines, that kind of thing. The other weapons were all more specialised. There was a mortar platoon which had 3-inch mortars. We didn't handle those, but there was a 2-inch mortar in the company, but I didn't have anything to do with that either. All I can say is Lee Enfield rifle, brain gun, that's all I did.
I mean, you joined the TA, did you think there was going to be a war?
If I might digress, when I was at the grammar school, I remember when I was about 12, I wrote an essay on the Nazis and Nazi Germany. It got me a prize, actually, at school. Because, I mean... Where my father was a treasurer to the local British Legion, which was in our street, and our house was always full of ex-soldiers, men with one arm or one leg and things like that, and I knew all about things that happened. I was under no illusions what it was like to be in the army. Fellas would show me where the German bayonet had gone into the stomach, you know, that kind of thing. So I was under no illusions at all. And my mother always said that when I was 18, I remember saying this, there'll be a war. I know, silly, but there it was. And anyway, of course, I think anybody who thought about it knew there's a war coming. We hoped there wouldn't be, but we knew there was one coming, yeah.
How much time did you have to devote to the TA?
As
you were working?
Well, that was just... it was quite simple, really. We only once a week, paraded once a week, that's all. and it was a bit of, but as I say, I was in the transport section, so really what they were doing is teaching me to drive. I got this basic training as a soldier, but I was being taught how to drive principally. And I can remember going one night, having to go to Alverton, drive this truck to Alverton again at midnight sometime. The damn thing broke down because they were that old and they'd been running that long, and it broke down. And it was a bit primitive in those days. I think I managed to find a phone box and ring up the drill hall and tell somebody to come out and tow me back again.
So did you enjoy the TA?
Yes, yes, yes. So about 4 or 5 of us had all joined up together, and I didn't have to do, but I suspect that one or two of the older lads had joined up because when they were 21, they knew they'd be conscripted into the army. Well, it didn't really apply to me because I was only 18, but we all joined up. It was a bit of fun. They'd had a display down on the cricket ground in Wigan, and the thing that I wanted to do, what I wanted to do was, as I say, join the transport department so I could be taught how to drive. And I got my licence, actually, that way. Yeah. On an army lorry. Yeah.
So when you were at Langley Castle, you were doing exercises quite a lot, were you?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Were you doing route marches and things?
Well, we used to, no, not really. What we used to do every Sunday, we marched down to Hayden Bridge, which is about 3 miles, and marched back again with the band. You know, but that was about it. Yeah.
Was that do people come out and watch you?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a happy time? Because, you'd all gone from your civilian lives and, being soldiers once a week to all of a sudden it was full time. I mean, was everyone pleased to be there, or...?
Yes, it was a mixture, really. It was a bit of an adventure, it was a bit exciting, and it was different, and it was irksome, the discipline, and I have to say it, the difference between the ranks and the officers, it was really quite something, and I'd never come across that. To me, it's something new to me. This is why I'm always a little bit hesitant to say things, but I can remember on this exercise in Halton, I was runner for the company commander, and the colonel came along and said, what are you, this positions of your company, what are you doing? And he went on about this, and in front of us was a stream about 4 feet wide. I could have jumped over it. And he said, and this is my tank defence. Well, I mean, I was brought up amongst people who've been soldiers. I'd read books. I knew about tanks and what they did and how they could be used. And I looked at them and I looked at this. I said to myself, I can jump over that. That's not a tank defence. But anyway, that was something else. Sorry. As I say, I got a bit bolshy in those days.
So quite a lot of readjusting then.
Yeah.
Can you remember any of the officers' names there from Langley Castle?
Well, Lieutenant Holton was the officer in charge of this newly formed intelligence section, and he, as I say, he got killed in France later on. In fact, the intelligence section that I'd left was practically wiped out. There were, I can even know, a lad named Jerry Colshaw and Archie Platt, who were in the section. They're somewhere as far down at the bottom of Dunkirk Harbour, and I don't know where Halton is at all. Right.
So you were in the intelligence section at Langley Castle?
Yes. Well, we formed it there. Yes. I was Lance Corporal in charge. Eventually, if I'd stayed, I would have probably become a sergeant, but they wanted a Lance Corporal at 127 Brigade headquarters, and I was posted there.
Yeah, so you were a Lance Corporal there.
Yeah.
And that was in...
Well, I was a Lance Corporal in about November, just before Christmas, and then I went there in early April, probably.
Yeah, that's right. So you were at HQ Company in Wiltshire somewhere, I can't remember where, which was the stables.
It's a well-known place.
Yeah. Not Lamborn or...
No, no. Wait a minute. Can you...
Yeah, okay, right.
I can remember when I got this motorbike, a BSA 350, riding through Marlborough, Southern Oak Forest, and I was crouched down over the, you know, and I'm looking at the speedo, and then no matter what I did, I couldn't get it to go faster than 72 miles an hour.
How long were you at Marlborough?
I don't know, February, I think we went down there, might have been January, February.
Right.
And, of course, it was preparation for going over to France.
Right, okay. So, at Marlborough, were you were continuing with training in what?
I was doing intelligence work there,
right,
I had this intelligence section there.
So you were, and, you told me about how you did the maps. What else did they teach you?
Identification of different regiments in the German army, different ranks, and there was a certain amount of knowing the German language involved. Recognition of tanks and weapons, things like that. So,
did you think that the training you were getting, you know, it seemed good and well informed? I mean, did the British Army seem to have, you know, had the finger on the button in that area?
Well, looking back, all I can repeat is that it was still based on World War One. It was really.
Mm. And a lot of the senior officers have been in World War One.
Yes. Mm. Yes, our colonel and second command have both been in the First World War.
Mm-hmm. And you did trench training?
Yes, digging trenches. I mean, not slit trenches, but all the trench force systems and so on. And this struck me that when we got to France, we took over some fortifications on the... a place called Alloa on the Belgian frontier, and we took over for, and yet when the Germans invaded on the 10th of May, we upstick, leave all these behind and walk into Belgium where we've no fortifications at all. And the whole thing, I thought, what are we doing this for?
Tell me about that when we get there. Right, okay, so you're in Pusey in Wiltshire, still a lance corporal.
Yeah.
And you're doing more intelligence training there?
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
Well, it was... We left... we went into... beginning of April. Went over to France the beginning of April. I can't tell you the precise date.
And that was Dunkirk, was it?
Well, led eventually to Dunkirk.
Right, okay. So tell me about how... When you were in Pusey, how did you hear that you were going to... go somewhere?
I just told.
You just told. What
were you told? I'd been transferred to Brigade Headquarters.
Right, yeah. Which were where?
That was in Pusey.
I was
in Marlborough, where I was actually in Marlborough.
Right.
But when they told me I was being posted to Brigade Headquarters, it was Brigade Headquarters that were in Pusey.
Right, okay. And then from there?
Well, France then, after
right.
that.
And did you know whereabouts in France you were going, or
no,
what was going to happen?
No. Yeah. We went. All I know is we drove down to Southampton, stayed the night in Southampton, got on some. I think it was an Isle of Man steamer. I think I used to know the name of it once, and we went over to Cherbourg. And when we got there, that was another daft thing. The French dockers were on strike, and we had to unload our own vehicles. So I slept in the Gare du Nord. Well, we all did. That's, you know, the station, the big station there. And the next day, we're just unloading our vehicles because the French dockers were on strike. Then, from there, we drove through France. Lovely, this, it was great. Right through to, I remember going through Le Mans because I knew about the Le Mans race.
So what date would this be? Do you know what date?
This was the end of April, that's all I can tell you. Towards the end of April.
Is when you went to France, yeah.
Yeah, towards the end of April.
So, I mean, France hadn't fallen to the...
Oh, no, it hadn't started, no.
So what was Cherbourg like?
Exciting. you know, French and all the rest of it, and the lads were sort of, we went out touring around the town and different people looking for different things.
Yeah. Where were you billeted?
We weren't. No, that's what I said. We slept in the station on the docks, the Gare du Nord. And we just, all we did was got our vehicles off the following day.